Today's shiur is dedicated for schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is masechta nedarim daf lamed hey, and we will begin be'ezra Hashem yizbarach on daf lamed hey amud aleph at the top of amud. In our previous shiur, we had discussed if someone said to someone else that kikri, the my bread, is also to you, and the question is, if the person who made that nether then gave that bread to the person who he said should not have any benefit from him, the question was, well, now that he gave it to him, it's not my bread anymore. If it's not my bread anymore, the nether which said that my bread should be also to you is no longer relevant because it's not his bread anymore. On the other hand, that's what he meant. Did he mean that this bread should always be also to you? And as we said in our previous year, certainly if the situation was if I made such a nether and I gave my bread to someone else, and then that person who I did not make the nether towards, and then that third individual gave the bread to that person, there would be no question that the nether is that he may benefit from the bread. The issue that we're discussing, Rav discussed, is that I'm giving the bread directly to this individual. What is the halacha? So Rav said that he may not benefit from the bread. And even though, as Tosfos points out in the previous shiur, that Rav Chiya tried to question Rav's psak, Rav, the Gemara holds, still follows his psak. Eisveis, who asked the Gemara from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Omalai, Ruvain said to Shimon, Hashileni Parascha, lend me your cow, I need to work with it. Omalai, so Shimon says to him, Kainim Parush ani Konilach, this cow that I bought, you may not have any benefit from it. Or he said to him, Nechasa Elach, all of my property should be usher to you. Anything I own, you may not have benefit from me. Im yeshli para elu zu. If I have any other animal besides this animal. And the way to Rishonim explain the Gemara. Somebody asked me to lend me my animal. And I can't lend the animal. And the reason I can't lend you the animal is because I don't have any other animal. So to express myself, I say that if I have any other animal, this animal should be ushered to you. That what I'm saying is, if I have any other animal, then this animal should be ushered to you. He's trying to express how he doesn't have any other animal, and that's why he can't lend him this animal. Or, similarly, somebody says, Hashlini kadumach, please lend me your hammer. Amalei kainim kadim, yesh li shani kani. Or, I say a nether, that this hammer, alecha, yesh li kadim eluzu, if elza, if I have any other hammer. Again, as we learn, trying to express that he has no other camel. V'nimtzi sheshli, and then it turns out that actually, he did have another animal. He did have another hammer. The halach is chayav, as long as the person who made the nether is alive, usher, then the person he made the nether towards would not be allowed to have any benefit from him. Mace, if the person who made the nether passed away, or he gave this hammer, this animal, as a gift to the person who towards the nether was made, the loch is hareze mutter. At that point, he's allowed to have hanah from it. So what do we see from here? That we see very clearly that even though somebody made a nether, that somebody cannot benefit from him, a specific item, if, however, it was given to the person, the Bryce is teaching us, then it's not anymore the person who made the nether's property, and therefore he can have a no from it. How will Rava explain this Bryson? So the Rav Kivega in the Gilyon HaShas asks that we in our previous year explained that the reason Rava says that even if he gave it to him as a gift, he would not be allowed to benefit from it. The reason why is because the halacha is that what was he trying to accomplish? Why was he trying to say, "Kikri alecha"? What was he trying to say, that my bread you cannot benefit, if he always could just give it to him? And if I gave it to him, because as Rav Akiva Eiger points out, if I didn't give him permission to eat that bread, of course he can't eat the bread. It's my bread. You can't eat my bread without my permission. And if, on the other hand, I gave it to him, and the braisa saying that once I give it to him, it's not subject to the nether, so then what was the point of the nether? So explains Rav Akiva Eiger, the question is as follows, that the braisa here is talking about the question of the Gemara is possible to understood, that when we speak about bread, bread is something you could only eat bread once. This braisa, however, is speaking about a cow, a hammer, that you could constantly use over. And therefore, in this case, what we're saying is that only when I own it is it usur, not afterwards. And therefore, Kiva Eger asks, maybe in this case, where it's not something where it could be reused, it will be different. Amar of Achabered Raveka, going back to what we said at the beginning of the shir, that we're going to be speaking, that this price is speaking about a case, Shinosnoi de Achram, that it wasn't that the person who made the nether gave it directly to the person who he made the nether to. That suggests the Gemara. Rava still considers as a situation where he can't have enough from him. What we're talking about is that I gave it to someone else, and once I gave it to somebody else, therefore it's not mine anymore. And when he gives it to him, then it's permissible. There is a discussion in the Rishonim, what would be the halacha if it wasn't that I gave it to someone else, and then that individual gave it to the person to whom I made a nether? If the case was where somebody stole it, and then the person to whom the nether was made gets it from the person who stole it, what would be the halacha there? Amar of Ashi, Dekanami, and says Rav Ashi, I'll prove to you that that's the proper way to understand the Braisa. The Tani, the Braisa says, Shenitnoloi, it was given to him. The Loi Tani, Shenosunloi, it doesn't say that I gave it, because I indeed cannot give it, as Rav said. Barmine Rav and Rav Nachman, Yesh Mila Bekanamis Aloi. As we discussed in our previous year, if somebody uses Hegdish without authorization, there's a halacha of Mila Behegdish. As we discussed in our previous year as well, the halacha of Mila Behegdish is actually only B'shagig. Only in those cases do we say Mila Behegdish. And as we also discussed in our previous year, if somebody is Moel Behegdish, the halacha is that you have to pay a Keren V'chaymish and you have to bring in a Sham Me'ilus. So the Ran points out that even though our Gemara is beginning a discussion of Yesh Mila Behegdish or not, it's not referring to the carbon aspect. The carbon aspect, the halacha, regarding the Keren V'chaymish, there's no question that you don't have to pay. The question here is regarding the carbon that's brought. If somebody expressed his nether in the form of a kayin, if somebody expressed his nether in the form of a kainim, and we know kainim, as we learned in the first mishnah of the Masechta, is connected to carbon. And the Gemara's question is, will that mean that I made this object, that I made the subject of a nether, is it treated like Hegdish and has the dinner meal of a Hegdish, and according to Ran regarding the Shamilas? There are Rishonim that disagree. And there are Rishonim that say that the question is even regarding the Keren V'chaymish. The Ran says that Keren V'chaymish is only paid when you're taking something from Hegdish and the punishment for taking something from Hegdush is that you pay Karen v'chaymish. Even if we'll say that Kainim is a form of Hegdush, even if we'll say Kainim is a form of Hegdush, it's not property that belongs to Hegdush. And since the subject of the Kainim is not actual property that belongs to Hegdush, the payment of Karen v'chaymish to Hegdush wouldn't make sense. The Brisk Rav says, based on this discussion that we're having, Yesh Mila B'Kanamis, he explains a pasuk in the Chumash. The pasuk says, Ish ki yida neder l'Hashem, oishav eshvu l'esa Yisrael nafshei. What does the pasuk have to say by neder l'Hashem? And by shvua, it doesn't say neder shvu l'Hashem. It just says, oishav eshvua. But says the Brisk Rav, that if kainim, as we're learning, is a form of neder, it's not a form of shvua. Kainim is a neder, it's an Issa Cheftza. And if we learn Yesh Mila B'Kainamis, so we're saying that this object that I becomes the subject of my neder becomes Lashem. It becomes like it's Hegdish Lashem. Whereas, as we've been learning from the beginning of Masechta, Shvua is Issa Gavra. So certainly the person who took an obligation upon himself didn't make anything Hegdish. And that's why the pasuk by neder uses the word Lashem, and the pasuk by shvua does not. Amalei, so Rav Nachman responds, Tinesua. It goes back to what we learned in our Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph that we discussed extensively in our previous year. We learned that if people made the Dharma against each other, and we have a situation where somebody returns an object, somebody does the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, but the halacha is that the situation is that the person who I'm returning the object to, as we learned in our previous year extensively, I may return the object to him because he's not having benefit from me, because I'm just returning to him something which belongs to him. But we discussed also in our previous year that what would be the halacha if this person wants to give me a reward? So I refuse to take a reward. I don't want to take a reward for having done a mitzvah. And I don't want to take a reward for having done a mitzvah. So the person is going to keep the reward that he wanted to give. But this is an individual who's not allowed to have any benefit from me. If he's an individual who's not allowed to have any benefit from me, keeping the reward is a benefit. So the Mishnah said, what should he do with that money? Makom shenaitl maschar, where there's a reward to be paid, and this person can't keep the reward, the halacha is tipl hanor lehegdish. That money should be thrown into Hegdish. And as the Ram points out, throughout Shas, when the Gemara wants to give us an example or a situation where you can't have a hanor from something, the Gemara says always, Tipl hanol yamamelech, it should be thrown into the yamamelech. Our Mishnah said, Tipl hanol lehegdish. Why did our Mishnah change the regular format? To teach us, lemke hegdish. To teach us that the kainim is treated like hegdish. And ma hegdish yesh by mi'ila, af kainim yesh by mi'ila. And since it's treated like hegdish, that's why it's the money that I'm not allowed to keep because of the nether should be given to Hegdish. And that's Raya, says the Gemara, that it's that Yechai, that Kanamis are treated like Hegdish. Ketanoi, so suggests the Gemara, this discussion that we're having now, if Kanamis are treated like Hegdish or not, suggests the Gemara is a Machloikus Tanoim. It says the Gemara, if somebody says, Kainim kikazeh Hegdish, that somebody said that this loaf of bread should be usher like Hegdish. Vachla. And then somebody ate it. Bein hu, or bein chaveroi, whoever ate it, mol. Well, is over me'ila. Ulefikach, yesh le pidyon. Just like we know the halacha is that Hegdish could be redeemed, this bread, since it's treated like Hegdish, the halacha is, can be redeemed. There is a discussion in the Achrayim. We know that normally if we have an object which belongs to Hegdish and when we redeem it, the value, that money, is given to Hegdish. What is going to be the halacha here? If we're learning that yesh mila b'kanamis, and the kanamis are a form of hegdish, is it going to go to the owner when it's redeemed, or is it going to go to hegdish? The question is there considered, if you make something hegdish, is it still considered that it has a vestige of your ownership? If it still remains yours, then you'll get the money. If it's considered purely like hegdish, the money will go to hegdish. If somebody, however, said ki kezeh olai hegdish, that he made it hegdish only to himself, achloi hu meil, so if he eats it, then he's over meila chaveroi. But if somebody else eats it, loy meil. Lefikach, since it doesn't have the status of hegdish for everybody, the halacha is that you can't be poided. Because, as the Ran explains this Gemara, there are two types of kainim. There's something which is known as a kainim klali, that something that becomes usur to everyone. And then there's something which is a kainim proti, something which is only usur to an individual person. And what this Manda Omer is teaching us is that when we have something which is only a kainim proti, which is only usur to a certain individual, the halacha is that since it's a limited hegdish, that's why it can't have the halacha opinion that hegdish normally has. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that why are we saying that kainim could have a pidyon, that something that's also a kainim you could redeem? The reason we're saying that it's subject to redemption is because it's like hegdish. And just like hegdish is subject to pidyon, so too kainim is subject to pidyon. But explain to Rishonim that this man, the Omer, holds that it has to indeed be similar to hegdish. Now, what is the halacha of hegdish? Hegdish means that it's hegdish for the entire world. So similarly, if it's a kainim klali, which is also to the whole world, then it's similar to hegdish. And just like hegdish has pidyon, this kainim will have pidyon. But if it's only kainim prati, where it's only hegdish towards certain individual or individuals, so it's not similar to hegdish. And since it's not similar to hegdish, the halacha opinion won't apply. Divrei Meir. This is all the opinion of Meir. V'chamar benkach or benkach, that whether it's a kainim klali, whether it's a kainim prati, loy mal, v'fish emay ele b'kanamis. So the Gemara is saying that this is the machlokes. Remeya holds yesh mila b'kanamis, and the Rabbanan hold that emila b'kanamis. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avi l'Rav Ashi. According to Remeya, that holds that yesh mila b'kanamis. Kikri alecha. If I say, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, that you may not eat from my loaf of bread, and then nosan l'matana, and then I gave it to this person. So, what's the halacha? Mimol, limol ha-noisin, who would be the one that was over me'ila? Should we say that the person who gave the loaf was over me'ila? Halay sirilei, it's not usur. What is the definition of me'ila and me'ila? Definition of me'ila is that I take something which is hegdish and I use it for my own personal use. Or kainim, I take something which is usur to me and I use it for my own personal use. But this is not us to me. I made a neder that you can't eat from this loaf of bread. I didn't make a neder that I can't eat from the loaf of bread. Halay sirilei, limal hamakabel. So we'll say that if the person who I gave it to, who has an iser kainim, to eat this bread, he will be over mila. But ask the Gemara, yochel daimer, why can't he say, hatira ba'isi, when you gave it to me, I only wanted to take ownership if there's no isser involved in taking ownership. Bisura libisi, I never took ownership if taking ownership would involve mila. So of course, the Ran asked the obvious question. Every mila, as we said at the beginning of the sugya, is only b'shaygig. Mila by definition is only in a case where I didn't know what I'm doing is an avera. So yes, you gave me a loaf of bread, which I'm not allowed to benefit from. I have an issa kainim, which we're saying now is an issa me'ila. And I claim, says the Gemara, I wouldn't have taken it if I would have known that I'm subject to koinim. That shouldn't be an acceptable excuse. Just like by Hegdish, if somebody accidentally takes a Hegdish object and takes it to his own property, he's Oivim Ila, even though he could also say, had I known it's Hegdish, I would have never taken it. So the Ran says that this halacha, there's two halachas. There's a halacha of taking something out of the ownership of Hegdish, and there's something where I take ownership. So it says that in this case, the issue is not taking the koinim from where this bread from where it is to me. The issue is not the hoitzah. The issue is the taking of the ownership. Mila, says the Chazon Ish, is only when you take, says the Ran, when I take something from you and take it to me. That's not what the issue here is. The issue is my taking ownership. And I make a claim that I'm not interested in taking ownership if the price of taking ownership is that I will be Oiv Mila. So the question is, who is the one that's Oiv Mila? Amale, Mekaba Molch Shiotzi. It doesn't make a difference, as we said. Shekola Moitzi Mosh Shel Hegdish L'chulin. Any type of Mila, says Rav Ashi, involves taking something Kesavish L'chulin by mistake. I think it's chulin when in reality it's Hegdish. And therefore, who mile, afser mile. So just like if I take something from Hegdish and I didn't realize it's Hegdish, and that's why I did it, I'm still considered a mile. Here too, if there's an isser koinim on this object towards me, I may not use it. Says the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues discussing that if I made a neder that somebody can't benefit from me, what, or vice versa, what may or may not be done in terms of a what can or can't be done in them or for, between these individuals. Says the Gemara Tirim as Trumaso Imaisrov. The person that made a nether that somebody else can't benefit from him still could take off the Trumas Imaisrov on behalf of that person. The Datoy, and it may be done with his knowledge. Makrivalov. Similarly, if I made a neder that I can't do anything on your behalf, and I'm a koyin, the loch is makrivalov, I could bring on your behalf kinezovim, kinezovis. We know that Rachman Slon, a person has to bring, if somebody becomes a zova or a zova, they have to bring, when they finish their tahara process, they have to bring a pair of birds, kinezovim, and the law is that I, the Kohen, could bring it on your behalf. Now, the most Rishonim explained this Mishnah, that the discussion in our Mishnah, which we will expand on in the Gemara in a moment, is referring to the Kohen doing that krova. But the Mishnah is not referring to a situation where the Kohen, who's not allowed to have benefit, the Kohen who... the person who made the nether may not have benefit, will donate the actual animal. The animal, of course, or the bird as we're speaking about, is not what we're discussing. It seems that the Yerushalmi that disagrees, and the Yerushalmi holds that he could even donate the animal, the bird, on his behalf. Similarly, Koine Yoldus, when a woman has a baby, after they've become tahor, you have to bring... if the person is a wealthy person, they bring a keves la'ayla, a tar ben yonel chattis, an animal for a common ayla, and a bird for a common chattis. And if the people can't afford to buy an animal, they bring two birds, one for ayla and one for chattis. Chattis for shamas, or similarly the kohen could be the one to be makriv, a chattis for osham on behalf of this person that... And it's not considered that he's giving him a hanor that he's not allowed to have. Similarly, Melamdai, the person who made the nether is allowed to teach the person who's not allowed to benefit from him, Medrash, Halachas, Vagodas. He's allowed to teach him all these types of limudim, because it's not considered as if he's, it's not considered that he's benefiting him, because the Or Sameach explains why is it mutter. I mean, four, the Ran explains, because teaching someone Torah is a mitzvah, and there's a rule of mitzvahs lav lehenes netnu. Therefore, when I'm doing something of teaching Torah to somebody, it's not considered as if he's benefiting from me. Another pshat is that when I'm teaching Torah, the focus is that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, says the Rashba, of learning Torah. The fact that also at the same time that I'm learning Torah and teaching Torah, you're benefiting from me, you're learning Torah, I'm doing the mitzvah for myself of learning Torah. Another pshat that the Rashba suggests is that since you're not allowed, as we're going to be learning in our sugyas, you're not really supposed to get paid for the mitzvah of teaching Torah, so it's not really considered a benefit. The Meiri explains, because teaching Torah is just speaking. And speaking, that I speak and you listen to my saying a shir, is not considered as if you're having hana from me. Another pshat that Dar Sameach, which I think is similar to the Meiri, is that when you said a neder, that you're not allowed to have benefit from me, talking is not considered benefit. Benefit is when you have a real physical benefit from me. Just listening to me say a shir is not considered as if you are having benefit. But, says the Mishnah, avalayilam denim mikra. The halacha regarding mikra, chumash may not be taught, and the Gemara is going to explain why chumash is different. Avamlamad who has banavas benoisim mikra. Even though I'm not allowed to teach you, even I'm not allowed to teach the person who has the subject of the nether, chumash, I could teach his children. And the chiddush is that even though a father has an obligation to teach his children Torah, and by me teaching your children Torah, I'm doing you a major benefit, that instead of you needing to teach your children Torah, I will teach them Torah. So again, says the Ran, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah. I'm helping you fulfill a mitzvah. And we have the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes netnu. However, points out Tosfos, because that this halacha applies that even in a place where I get paid to teach children Torah, the halacha is, and now I'm not charging you, it doesn't make a difference, I'm allowed to teach your children Torah. This Mishnah actually spoke about teaching the daughters Torah. And the question is, the question that of course the Paiskim discuss, are women allowed to learn, and what may women learn? The Shulchan Aruch says that we certainly should not teach girls Torah Shebal Peh, and even Torah Shebal Ksav is not so clear. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh Siman Resh Mem Vav Sivav and the Ramah talk about that, and that Torah Shebal Ksav may be b'dieved, certainly women are allowed to learn, but not l'chatchila. So the question is, how are we speaking about girls learning? So in the Sefer Likutei Halachos, in the Masechta Soita, the Chafetz Chaim discusses this, and he says that times have changed. And he says, in previous generations, the Masaira, how a mother taught her daughter what it meant to be a Jewish woman, and what they're obligated to do, and what they may not do, the Masaira, that Masorah is very strong. And since that Masorah is very strong, there was no need to give women formal education. But unfortunately, says the Chafetz Chaim, we don't live in such a time where that Masorah is so strong. And therefore, he says, certainly we should teach girls and establish schools for and Beis Yaakov for girls to get educated in Lamudei Kodesh. Ibailehu. So they asked a question which is a Shas question. Hani kahani, when kahanim do avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, shluch de don havu, are they considered working on our behalf? A shluch de shmaya. where they considered the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the Rishonim asked the question. This question of Ashluch Didan or Shluch Rachmana, how do we view the Kohayanim doing the Avodah, is a Gemara Masech the Kedushin, Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. And Rav Huna in the Gemara Masech the Kedushin clearly proves that Kohanim Shluchei the Rachmana. Why? Because it says Rav Huna, what is the definition of a Shliach? The definition of a Shliach is there's something that I could have done, but instead of I doing it, I appoint somebody to do it on my behalf. So a Yisrael can't do the Avodah himself. So says Rav Huna, there's no way to say that the Kohanim are the Shluchei Didan. The Kohanim are our Shlichim. Because you can't point a Shliach to do something that you yourself can't do. So we already know the answer to the question. Why is our Gemara beginning this discussion all over again? So the Ran explains that Rav Huna, as we just said in the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, based his opinion on a Svara. What our Gemara is trying to establish is if we could understand what the halacha is based on a Mishnah or a Braisa. Taisa says that Rav Huna says that of course the Kohanim are Shluchei D'Rachmana. The question is that are they also Shluchei Didan? That's the question. Another explanation that the Ramban and Ritva suggest is indeed a Kohen who's doing the Avodah on behalf of Yisrael is, as we just explained, certainly Shluchei D'Rachmana. But what about a Kohen who's doing the Avodah on behalf of another Kohen? So there, the Mishaleach, the Kohen, could have done the Avodah. And the Gemara's question is, in such circumstances, are they Shluchei D'Dan or Shluchei D'Rachmana? Rav Shimon Shkop says when we take the concept of Shluchei D'Shemaya, it doesn't mean that the Shlichim of Shemayim. What it means is that the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, empowered them, gave them the authority to do the Avodah. But not that it should be understood as Shlichis, as we normally understand Shlichis. The Ktzois says differently. The Ktzois says that if we say Kohanim a Shluchei D'Shemaya, they're considered full-fledged Shlichim. Says the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina. What would be the nafkamina if we call them Shluchei D'Dan or Shluchei D'Shemaya? Says the Muda Hanoah, if I made a neder that a Kohen can't, I can't have any benefit from a certain Kohen. Yeah, I'm Shluchei D'Dan have a, if we'll say that the Kohanim are our Shluchim, so then Hamahanilei, this Kohen cannot do a void on my behalf. I'm not allowed, I can't appoint somebody to be a Shliach on my behalf if I can't have a no from him. Vasser, v'yamit shluchei d'shmaya, but if we say the Kohen is a shluchei d'shmaya, then the Allah is, then he can do a voidah on my behalf. So the Shas HaTshuvas, part of Me'iris, asks, the Mishnah in Masech Techulin teaches us that the Allah is that we're allowed to receive kabbonis from Nochrim. But now there's a rule, en shlichus l'nochri. So if the Nochri is sending a carbon, and the Kohen is bringing the carbon, is doing the avodah on the carbon, he can't be a shlich of the Nachri, because as we just said, ain't shlichus the Nachri. So the Achronim discuss this question. They say that a Nachri's relationship to a Kohen, or to a carbon, is not the same relationship that we have to a carbon. When we have an obligation to bring a carbon, or we bring a carbon, Yisraelim, it's considered a full-fledged carbon. And therefore, we have to bring it. And that is a question how to view the coin that's bringing on our behalf. When we say that we can bring a carbon from an Akum, it doesn't mean that the Akum is the owner of the carbon, that the halachas of a carbon apply there. The halacha is that we accept kabbonis from Nachrim, but it's not as if it's his carbon. So Gemara wants to bring a raya from our Mishnah, Toshma, Makrovov, Kinei Zoyim. If I made a nether that a certain kohen, that I can't benefit from a certain kohen, we still learned in our Mishnah that the Karyan could bring Kinei Zavos on our behalf. If we're going to say that the Kohen who brings a carbon on my behalf is my shliach, how could I ask that Kohen to bring a carbon on my behalf? It should certainly be usur, because I'm appointing him as a shliach, and I'm appointing somebody who I can't have benefit from as a shliach. Ask the Gemara l'tameich. So it must be that Kohanim shluchei d'shmaya, and since the shluchei d'shmaya, therefore they could bring karbanos on my behalf, because they're not doing anything on my behalf. Ask the Gemara, Ula Tameich, listening, let's learn, the Mishnah should have just said, makro of karbanos. If we're saying that the reason a kohen could bring a karban on my behalf, even though it's a kohen that I may not benefit from, is because shluchei d'shmaya ninu, the kohanim are not the shliach of the owner of the karban, they're the shliach of Hashem, so why did the Mishnah speak about specific karbanos? The Mishnah should have just said that makriv of love karbanos, that you could bring any, that this kohen, since he's not doing anything on my behalf, could bring the karban. Why did the Mishnah specifically only speak about kinei zavim zavus v'yaldus ella b'chusik purushani? Because these are not the regular type of karbanos. These are karbanos that are brought by somebody who can't eat kachim and can't enter the Beis HaMikdash until the carbon is brought. That, and therefore, it's not a carbon that affects kapar, that accomplishes that much. Since it's just here to, as a prerequisite that I should be able to eat kachim, I should be able to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, there, the halach is, kohen are not allowed to, the kohen's allowed to bring the carbon on my behalf. But a different type of carbon, that's different. And what's the raya that a carbon that's brought by Mechusra Kapura is different than other carbonas is the fact that we have another halacha. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hakol Tzrichandas, you can't bring a carbon on behalf of another person without his knowledge and consent. Because the purpose of the carbon is that he should have a kapara. If I don't even know what's going on here, then there's no kapara. A kapara means that I know I did an aveira, I'm doing tshuva, I'm bringing a carbon as a part of my tshuva process, and therefore needs das. But mechusri kapura don't need das, because the carbon is not being brought for kapara on the chait. As we just said, that carbon is being brought just that I should be able to go into the Beis HaMikdash or go to eat kachim. And therefore, it's very different. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Raya, that you could bring a carbon for someone else without a Mechusri Kippurah carbon on somebody else's behalf without their knowledge. Shvei Adam, maybe carbon, Abonav Abonais V'Katanim. The halach is, you could bring a carbon on behalf of your young children. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Zois Tyrus Azov, when the Torah says that, as we spoke in the Mishnah, that when you bring a carbon, it says Azov, when somebody's Azov, you have to bring a carbon. And the halacha is, the word Tyrus comes to teach us, Ben Godl, Ben Cotton. Whether the Zov was a Godl or a Cotton, the halacha is, you could bring a carbon on behalf of that Cotton. Why can you bring a carbon as Cotton? Because the carbon is only a Mechusri Kapara, and there you don't need to have das. There is a machloikus achroinim. We're saying that you don't need to have their consent. The question is, even though you don't need to have their consent, does the kohen at least need to know on behalf of whom he's bringing the carbon? The Karen Oira seems to learn that you have to know, the kohen at least has to know on behalf of whom he's bringing the carbon. The Shalman Dorim disagrees and says he doesn't even have to know on behalf the name of the person on whom behalf he's bringing the carbon. Ask the Gemara. Now that we're learning, and then when the Torah uses the word Tyras, means that you could bring it on behalf of Ketanim, the Pasuk says, Zois Tyras HaYoledes, which as we discussed in our Mishnah, the halach is that when a woman has a baby and she finishes the Yimei Tahara, 80 days by a girl, 40 days by a boy, the halacha is that she has to bring kabbanis, as we described in the Mishnah. And the Torah introducing that parsha says the word zois teres here lettuce should mean bank tana bank gedayla, because we're learning that teres means bank gedayla bank tana. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that teres over there is coming to teach us that you could bring carbon on behalf of your wife who's a ketana when she had a baby? But ask the Gemara, ketana basleidihi, can a ketana have children? V'tana rav bibi kamed rav Nachman, sholosh noshim shamshus m'moich. The three women are allowed to have relations with contraceptives to avoid them from getting pregnant. Ketana muberes m'nika. And we explained, ketana, why is a ketana allowed to have relations that way? Because we're concerned, shem tas abavet Thomas, she won't be able to have a baby, and the pregnancy will put her into danger. So we see that she can't have a baby. So Tyrus can't be coming to teach us a yeledus. So what is Tyrus coming to teach us? Answers, Gemara, he, Zois Tyrus a yeledus, is coming to teach us, bein pikachas, bein shoita. Whether if the yeledus was intelligent or not, she can't other maybe carbon at least shoita. A person brings a carbon on behalf of his wife, who's unfortunately a shaita, kediv Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, adam mevi carbon asha lishtai. As we said in our Mishnah, the kabbonis of yeledis are very much dependent on the person's financial status. If he's wealthy, he brings an animal and a bird. And if he's not, he brings two birds. Now, the determination is not by the woman's financial status. The determination is by the woman's, by the husband's financial determination. For as the Rishonim explain, women, and obviously we're here, we're speaking about a married woman, don't really have any of their own assets. So woman, by definition, doesn't have anything. So every woman that had a baby should be considered an aniya. But we don't look at that. We look at the husband's status. That's what the husband writes into the ksuba, that the halacha is that I am obligated to fulfill your obligation. And since she just had a baby, so she has an obligation to pay up to bring her carbon, and that's what Tyrus comes to teach us, but not coming to teach us anything about a ketana, because there is no ketana by a yeledus. So here we see that a husband is obligated to bring the kabbanis that his wife has to bring. But there's a discussion, there's two discussions in the Rishonim. We're speaking here about a yoledis. A woman had a baby, and now we have a discussion. Is she obligated? Does the husband have to bring carbon on her behalf? What would be the halacha if a woman did an aveira for which there's a carbon chatos? So if a woman did an aveira for which there's a carbon chatos, does the husband have to bring the carbon for her? The husband maybe can make an argument. You shouldn't have done the aveira. And if you wouldn't have done the aveira, you wouldn't be obligated to bring the carbon. Or on the other hand, we're learning that a husband is obligated to take care of his wife. So it's a machlokes rishonim. The Rash says that a husband is not obligated to bring that kind of a carbon on his behalf of his wife. Other rishonim say, Al Gemara says that a husband is obligated to bring kabbanis that his wife is obligated to bring. Furthermore, the question is, if a wife gets married and she had on her an obligation to bring a carbon, does the husband have to, that obligation was there from before they were married, does the husband have to fulfill that obligation, or is it only obligations that come after the married? But prior obligations, certainly the husband doesn't have to bring. A husband's not obligated to take care of obligations that were there before. I saw the pasuk says, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'neshuva. And the Medrash says that there's a discussion between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, you come close to us and then we will come close to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, you will come close to us, and then the Shuvah, and then we'll do Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shuvah Elai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you come close to me, and then Vashuvah Elechem, I will come close to you. In other words, the question is, who's supposed to make the first step? Now, the whole point of bringing a carbon, as the word carbon represents, carbon means to come close. The point of the carbon is that a person, unfortunately, through doing aveiros, gets distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the carbon brings him back closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sefer Einei Shmuel explains that that is the discussion that we're having in our sugya about Kohanim Shluchei Dedan Shluchei Derachmana. If we are the ones that have to make the first step, so the Kohanim are Shluchei Dedan, who are bringing the carbon on our behalf, making the first step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, makes the first step, then is the Kohanim Ashluchid Rachmana who are making the first step to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Sfasema says, we know that Kairach said, Kikola Eidakulim Kadoshim. Everybody is Kadosh. Why did you choose Kahuna just for the family of Aaron? So says the Sfasema that that was exactly the discussion. Kairach said that the kabbonis that are brought by the Kahanim, they're doing it because we're taking the first step. And since we're taking the first step, anybody that we appoint should be able to bring the carbon on our behalf. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Kahanim are not acting on our behalf. The first step is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that first step I want should be done by the Kohanim.